The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
I'm a man who believed that I died 20 years ago, and I live like a man who is dead already. I have no fear whatsoever of anybody or anything.
Gary Webb. I am an investigative journalist, and in 1996, I wrote a series of stories entitled Dark Alliance, which is about CIA involvement in drug trafficking.
Are you a man who once said death smiles at us all? All a man can do is smile back.
We've opened Skull and Bone, the secret society.
It's so secret we can't talk about it.
What does that mean for America? The conspiracy theorists are going to go on.
I'm sure they are. I don't know. I haven't seen the
number 322.
I sad duty to report this afternoon that my friend and colleague, Tim Russert, collapsed and died early this afternoon.
I may die in this cell tonight or in the arena tomorrow. I am a slave. What possible difference can I make?
And no official of my administration, whether his rank is high or low, civilian or military, should interpret my words here tonight as an excuse to censor the news, to stifle dissent, to cover up our mistakes, or to withhold from the press and the public the facts they deserve to know.
What the fuck's up? Welcome to your favorite weekly conspiracy, parapolitical call-in variety show. Here we are. I know a lot of you guys probably do realize we have the debates going today. We might pop in there a little bit here and there. I don't know. Maybe not.
I caught the beginning just a little bit for a second.
Yeah, I haven't caught any yet.
Dude.
I saw people live tweeting saying it was rough, so I don't know.
Kamala's got a, let's just say she's on about a 10 out of 10 energy wise. So yeah. I mean, like, even going as far as to like lean in toward the camera and, you know, kind of like in a patronizing way, like put her hand on her chin and like just the most annoyingly provocative way to handle yourself, I would think. So I don't know. It's going to be an interesting one, I think. We'll see. It already seems like a clown show, but
it's just more like if we get to filler, if we run out of content. But you guys, right. If you guys are watching both, or anyone out there, if you do want to like let us know in the chat if there's something interesting worth commenting on, but I don't really feel like there'll be a ton. I mean, obviously we could, if very well, who knows, maybe we'll start talking about assassination stuff, but I kind of doubt it. I don't know, maybe something worthwhile for us to cover. If there is, let us know. Also do remind you guys, you can call in the second half of the show. That's also where we'll start interacting with the chat a little bit more. Till then, we'll shoot the shit. I do want to, I forgot to do a little intro. Hey, Austin's here with us today. Obviously me, Jose.
What's up, buddy?
Your dynamic duo. Now say hi to Jules in the back, everybody. Hi, Jules. Say hi, Jules.
What's up, guys?
Hi, Jules.
See, we're all high tech now. We figured out how to make him the voice of God producer. That's what I call it. That style of producer. So we'll have him here to interject occasionally when need be. Let's get into it. I guess probably anything you really were spurging on this week you wanted to get into, because probably the biggest thing for me was I'd say probably the World War II shit. I've been kind of on a little bit of a tear with that, sort of. Not that I'm any historical scholar. If anything, it's kind of like where I'm a little bit lacking. Like, I feel like I'm good on like certain specific events and stuff. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. When I was in high school, I hated history. It was fucking...
Oh, yeah.
It was boring as shit.
It was terrible.
Yeah, because it's like, to me, it was like memorize names and dates. That's kind of what exactly. It was. And it was also like the most boring, like, oh God, the good guys won again? No fucking way. Like, that's kind of what it was. So, like, I don't know, it bored the fuck out of me. And it, as I've gotten older, I've actually gotten more into history just as a result, being like, holy shit, like, it is a lot of interesting stuff. But yeah, point being is I don't have a great breadth of knowledge on it, but I do know that, like, I don't know, even if you take like the accepted, like, factual view of history, like when it comes to World War II, I'm still like, even that on its face is kind of, I don't know. I just don't get the comic book version that we get. You know what I mean?
Oh yeah. Like, it's like, very, it doesn't binary.
Make sense to me. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Binary thinking seems to reign the day. It's very cartoonish. Naive perspective, because clearly, as we all know, right, the victor writes the history. So it's going to be always one-sided, right?
Yeah, but I guess what I was getting at is that it's not like factually that people's, like, yes, there are things maybe some people may disagree on that here or there, but it is like, yeah, we may not focus on certain things, say like Dresden or some of the stuff that happened in the aftermath of World War II, like with some of the persecution the Germans and other folks like dealt with, but it's not like, that's not denied factually by anyone, but it's just that, like, it's just a matter of like, oh, but we had to do X, Y, and Z because of this. So exactly. That's kind of my point, is just that, like, it's, even if you take the official narrative and you don't even really take too much questioning of what the facts on the ground are, it's still kind of like, you should kind of get a different conclusion than what you're told at the end, which but we had to do X, Y, and Z. And you're like, what? Right. Like you had to firebomb Dresden. You had to firebomb Tokyo. We really had to drop the fucking nukes. Like really, you can't run any counterfactual where it would have worked differently. It always is. We had to. Like we had to do mass killings of civilians. Like what? Like I don't know.
That you send in the chat.
Oh yeah.
That one edit? Is that the?
Yeah, that would be good to play.
That's the bombing Dresden.
Yeah. I don't know if you have something you want to talk about, Austin, but if we could bring that up, and then maybe if you want to bring up the wiki too, so we can just kind of look through kind of like what the specifics of Dresden is. Yeah,
because I think it's perfect as far as like the aftermath, right? Like that's the narrative, you know what I mean? Like it always is going to be a moral justification of what took place, as long as the empire's in control of the official narrative, and that's of course what happened. But you know, if you have that pulled up, go ahead and play it. But all right, cool.
Oh, that's weird. We dick to the layouts, but I guess when you bring up content, it will bring you back up. So but you know what? I don't mind that. That shot like from the aerial view. Yeah, so that's the firebombing of Dresden, for those who aren't aware. But yeah, if you want to try to bring up that wiki, we'll kind of scroll through that and see and talk about that a little bit. But yeah, that's just that on its face. I'm pretty sure this was during, from my understanding, this was during wartime, so most of the war, the fighting age people and like the people who would be fighting were gone. So this literally was just a civilian population. Yeah, a joint in British and American aerial bombing attack on the city of Dresden. So it was the Brits and it was us that did that. Yep. So it's not even like that's one of the ones, because a lot of people do like to focus on that, like, oh, well, we allied with the Soviets and we left them in a, you know, strategic position at the end of the war that like kind of doomed a whole bunch of nations and people. But even just that, we don't even get to blame this one on them. Like that was us.
Right.
I mean, I'm not even saying that doesn't mean Hitler good. Like, no. It's just like, I know, like, Martyr Maid's
people,
main.
Man. That's yeah. crazy.
Yep. 25,000. Yeah. Yeah. A lot of people don't realize a lot of this other stuff that happened. Like, I don't remember how many people died in Hiroshima and Nagasaki, but I know the firebombing of Tokyo actually is way worse from, like, I was looking this a long time ago.
It's insanity.
Yeah. Yeah, so people look at the nuke as like the worst thing that ever happened in a sense, like so far as like a weapon or attack, I guess. I guess a weapon, that would be true because it's a singular weapon.
So
but
Japan
so
was
far
on
as attack,
fire, dude.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was insane. You look at the aftermath and the pictures of Japan. My God. When I did the Oppenheimer episode, it's just like it shakes you to your core. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, honestly.
Yeah, because I don't Absolutely. Get... I just struggle to justify that. Like, and even from a game theory perspective, it's like, you really just thought you were going to kill the fuck out of civilians? Because this was like a... Is my rough understanding is that like in World War One, Churchill was one of the people pushing for a lot of the earlier type things of like blockades were and stuff along those lines, where the idea was more to punish the populace. This is kind of where this theory started to form that we see a lot now. This is why like Yemen suffered so badly. Is that they start just kind of shutting
Food
off
blockades.
That type of stuff. And this was kind of a born out of. Churchill's involvement in like World War One when he was doing that sort of stuff. And this is kind of 100%. That, but ramped up. Like they took not like that concept, went from blockades and stuff, starving the people to literally just bombing the civilians and their infrastructure. I believe there was a quote from Churchill, something along the lines of wanting to dehouse people, which, it's funny because you say that in modern thing, but that's kind of like the same principle. And a lot of times you see in wartime stuff. So, like, say, especially over in Gaza and stuff like that.
There are disturbing parallels. Mm-hmm. You can find in many examples of them. But honestly, like, not to even mention like the Treaty of Versailles and the post World War One and what really was happening to the German people at that time. You know, it's like. Unheard of. Like it really never happened in this way before. And it kind of really set the stage for almost like an inevitable reaction, right? That was going to take place. And not to even mention the Prussian impact, you know what I mean? Of like the indoctrination of the Prussian model and all these other factors that, that played into the psychology of the German people at the time.
Dave covered that on one of his previous or more recent episodes talking about this topic. And I never put two and two together. For some reason, I never thought about putting those two components together. That is a really, I don't know if he's one of the first people to make that. Well, actually, he said someone else made that point to him. But the idea that, the Prussian, schooling is where we got school that we use the 100%. Same basic principles. And this was the progenitors of the Nazis, but just Germany in general, that area, Prussia, this is like their progenitors. So this was their schooling they were using that then, was used to indoctrinate them and stuff. So they were kind of hyped up with the same, war porn, propaganda, whatever that we are over here, kind of like post 9/11. So you got to think whatever they were feeding, and everyone wants to look at this comical view of history and go, well, these people were just evil. And you're like, I mean, yes, there's an evil thing in there. But I also think you could make that. You could probably say the same thing about the aftermath of 9/11. If you saw the bloodlust that was coming from us. Or the aftermath of October 7, if you're looking over in Israel, it's like, look at the bloodlust of these people. But you're like, but what's the context? Something happened and you rile them up. I mean, for example, I don't know to what extent it was used for war propaganda, but like the Reichstag, or the burning the Reichstag, like that which that was like completely a fucking op of, and like this isn't me giving them an out. This was an op of the Germans, like they and like the Nazis. I'm like from my understanding, it looked like kind of a false flag by them to use to be able to gain powers in order to institute the Nazi regime and kind of have them start federalizing their police, stuff like that, to kind of give them more control to where it was. Essentially taking I believe they were a constitutional republic and crafting it into something more akin to a dictatorship.
It was all essentially post the Bavarian Revolution that occurred when this I believe his name was Kurt Eisner, who was like this revolutionary who inevitably was assassinated, right? Who was like because he gets out of prison. He's this radical revolutionary Jewish, you know, socialist who is basically he's attempting to overthrow the oligarchy that's ruled for like, you know, generations. I mean, hundreds of years in this area of, you know, Prussia. And so it's pretty insane because when you realize the person who inevitably assassinates him after the first elections take place in the Republic, right? Post the Bavarian Revolution. It's pretty strange because he loses, right? The first elections and is going into the Reichstag to resign, right? To submit his resignation essentially. And he's assassinated by this individual who claims to be essentially attempting to gain loyalty to the Tool Society, which has infiltrated the Nazi Party at this time, right? And so that's another dynamic at play that is largely kind of missed by many angles, you know, which is understandable because most historians will focus largely on just the geopolitical dynamics and, you know, the wartime strategies and things of that nature, which totally I understand. And I think they're extremely important. But when you have somebody like this Anton Arcovalli, who was the assassin of Kurt Eisner, he, of course, like I said, has these connections to the Tool Society. And he decided to assassinate Eisner to prove himself worthy because he has Jewish heritage on his mother's side, is allegedly the case. And there's also this insane, this really insane vein of sort of like what you would call, I think it's really like this surge of interest in old Germanic antiquity, and which is like basically it's sort of this Nordic mythology of some kind that's really, you know, embedded within Germanic you know, culture and ideology, and so it was kind of like a way to, you know, be proud once again of your heritage in Germany because of this sort of like mass humiliation that had taken place. And also at least post-World War I, right? Which was just insanely interesting, but I could keep going on this.
So I was going to show this photo of this dual society.
Symbol. Yeah. It's even worse than that because
it's basically a swastika, right? I mean, you see,
pretty much.
Oh yeah. If you saw how many people like tried to take responsibility for the swastika, it's kind of hilarious.
It goes all the way back to Norse, I believe.
Ancient,
right. And that's actually where
Hindu times. Yeah. It was a symbol for universal peace, I'm pretty sure. And so you have people that take that and subvert it. Because, I mean, let's be honest, Hitler and all of them were contacting entities through rituals and magic.
Yeah, so, I mean, they were trying to.
Chaos,
I mean,
magic. He was definitely a chaos magician.
They at the very least were trying to.
Right, for sure.
100%.
Yeah. So, you look into some of the weird shit they were doing. Yeah, I mean, you look into these different societies. These people were a lot of ones that, what was it? It wasn't Goebbels. It was Himmler? I believe the one that was really into like the cult stuff.
Him,
and I believe
Rudolf Hess as well.
I'm pretty sure this picture right here is an actual, this picture, which you've seen in a lot of thumbnails and as the Illuminati, this is an actual photo of a Thule Society meeting. This one right here that you've seen a bunch.
Yeah. It's not creepy at all. Yeah,
yeah, that's a Thule Society meeting, guys.
What the fuck, bro?
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, that checks out.
You know
yeah.
what? You know what you should look up next.
For everyone who
is...
thinks Hitler was a Christian or like, I don't know.
Oh, yeah.
Guy, he was the same yeah. as anyone else.
I mean, for real, though, these guys were doing stuff. Funded. Yeah. You know, these people were literally like trying to like I forget was it Marie I don't know what I can't think Helena of her fucking Blavatsky. Name. I believe she was the Helena one who Blavatsky, supposedly yeah. maintained her virginity, so she was a maiden. So and it was supposed to build up like her viril or sexual energy, which enabled her connection or some nonsense. Like and, or maybe it was her one of the other medium type broads. But yeah, they were there was definitely some weird occult shit going on there. I don't know exactly what. Yeah. But I haven't delved deep enough into these different societies and to what degree they actually connect. But like, yeah, I mean, this is where the a lot of these symbolism comes from. Because like we were just looking at like that swastika looking thingy, and that comes from like the Aryan stuff kind of ties into like because it's kind of almost like the idea of like conservatism and the idea of like always trying to like go back. And because they had this idea that like we came from a race of Aryans, and so that exactly. they were trying to. So it's like. They were looking for, like, so they were looking back. So I think one of the furthest back, and maybe the, where they thought there were cultural ties were a lot of the Norse stuff. So that's where some of the, why they look kind of almost like runes, because they
Odinic
were.
Mysteries.
Yeah, yeah. They were runes.
Oh, yeah. Germanic yeah. runes. Like
it's fascinating, man.
Oh, right. Dude.
When you look into it, probably the coolest game I've played was Assassin's Creed Valhalla. When you were basically this Viking, and you could like have this potion that you drank, and it would take you to like the seven realms, and you can go to Asgard and shit. It's fucking crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Sick. It's awesome. Love it.
Wait,
love
for it. Real? They went that crazy with that? Yeah, okay. Dude. Well, shit. Oh, I mean, man. I played the first couple Assassin's Creed games, and they were seemed more grounded. Mean, that's you got a little fantastical at the end, but yeah.
like but I mean, play, consider really. Wolfenstein, man. I mean, that's an older game, but
Wolfenstein was creepy.
Yeah. You're like it's this theoretical world where the Nazis won the war, right. and you're like basically infiltrating an ancient Nazi castle to seek the Holy Grail. This yeah. is like kind of hilarious.
I did want to dwell on that point you just made a second ago about the if they had won the war. And like that is something that always comes up. Like we even have was it the Man in the High Castle, which is like the theoretical like if they won and like they're like we're literally speaking German in the States. And it's like who really fucking if it's like boomer brain rot to really think. For one, there's like multiple levels. Like at what level? Like at Poland, like because that's a key point of like Churchill intervened at Poland and got involved there. So it's like, and that's where it kind of devolved into a global war. But if they just let them have Poland, I mean, not saying it'd be great, but it's like, what would really be the consequence in a geopolitical? Then the higher level you get, now we get to a full world war. Even if they'd won a full world war, we wouldn't be speaking German. Like, what does that winning look like? That the winning just more or less means that we probably turned tail and left because we had sustained too much losses, and now we, you know, bringing our people back home type deal. Because there's no way they'd literally wipe us out entirely. That makes no fucking sense. Like, no. I mean, maybe they could get the government to kneel to them, but like, even then, they're not going to completely replace a population. Like, what do you think they're going to go over here and like institute German law? And the idea that they would be able to really maintain that hold politically from across the, I don't know. This is kind of the boomer brain rot when people talk about China is going to take over and Russia. Right. Like anytime anyone's like, you know, has this idea like, oh, we really. It's kind of the idea that like we have to have a military or something like that. Right. And like, I don't even know if I necessarily agree with that. Like what, like run the theoretical of like, if we didn't have like it didn't have one, like what would happen? Like it would, if anything, a lot like, what is it? David Friedman, I think makes a case in one of his books, like the machinery of freedom. He kind of runs that through like, what would really happen in a society that was absent, like a government, like a military, using the United States as an example, like what would happen from another major foreign power? If anything, it'd be harder for them to take control. But I guess the whole point I'm getting is once you start really thinking through on the ground how this thing would work, the idea that some other major foreign power can literally take over another foreign power and then like what you're literally going to be, they're going to be a dictatorship. Like you look at even something from us when we were to the States, like say like 1776, like the Revolutionary War. Like if you look at the tax rate at that time, like clearly like they didn't have a stranglehold on us, because it's like the idea of like what can you really do to a people that is an ocean away? Like what kind of resources are you going to waste to institute monarchical rule, like authoritarian rule?
Exactly. I saw a meme just the other day that fits that perfectly, as far as like it essentially was saying like our ancestors would have, they shot people in the face over a 3% increase in tea tax, right? And I just thought like, wow, like that is such a great point as far as just realizing how far we've fallen.
Tyrant king. Yeah. Look to what extent he was actually able to establish rule over a foreign area that wasn't even a world power. It was just colonists that supposedly came from them. Like it would have been way easier than any other foreign power trying to maintain rule over us in any way.
But then you read about like the Committee of 300 or the World Order, and essentially they hired out mercenaries to fight the revolution, which is like absolutely insane. You have like Germans over here on the front lines fighting in the American Revolution. And like, you know, it's very similar with like, you know, Chinese immigrants and all of this, right, who were also kind of conscripted forcefully into wars at the time, which is just absurd. And of course, more often than not, it goes without being said or just entirely unmentioned, you know, like, and there's so much collateral damage and also so many additional threads that really paint a much more extraordinary picture of what took place, right? And also provide many more, you know, many more as far as like avenues of kind of acknowledging motivations behind a lot of it. And I think it's just lost on so many people, man. Right. And what you were talking about, like I read like two different articles on all these different, you know, like ancient Germanic belief systems that were kind of like leveraged against the people to exploit them in so many different ways. And also like you have to consider like, there's this belief system that I believe it was called, let me find it real quick. I have it. Positive Christianity, dude. Mm-hmm. And that was also something that was a way for like the Nazi party at the time, which had come to power around, you know, the late 1920s and, you know, officially really gained their, you know, their, I would say like, you know, their foothold, you know, at that time, because the assassination took place in 1918, kind of capping the competition and really kind of like allowing for the infiltration of a lot of the members of the Tool Society who had been largely involved with the Nazi Socialist Party at the time, to get themselves within, you know, arm's distance, right, from the levers of power. And so, by the way, the guy that assassinated Eisner, he inevitably is released, right?
And so you're making the case that it's almost like a parallel with the, in a sense, obviously it's like an inverted parallel, I guess. The foundation of the United States is a little bit more romanticized, but the idea that Thule Society was almost like a secret society is pulling the strings. You know, or not necessarily Thule Society specifically, but like a conglomeration of different type of, whereas the flip side over here in the States, you know, like during that time, we had the Masons. It's kind of like there was a lot of weird stuff.
But here's what's crazy, dude, is that the Thule Society
and the India Tea Company and like shit like that.
100%. Yeah. And the Tool Society, oh, well, it's not just the Tool Society, everyone. It just so happens to be the German Orden, right? Which was the predecessor to Tool, right? Yeah. Which was a covert cover name only available to the public, okay?
Yeah.
And also has ties to Rosicrucianism and the Knights Templar. Yep. Where have we seen this?
Yeah, every secret society, Knights Templar. It's like,
fucking A.
And it's like, I mean, don't get me wrong. I think to some extent it is also like, if you're going to create it, you need that ambiance to like, oh, this is what we came from. But there also is like, also when you have almost every single one of them points to that, you have to wonder, well, maybe there's a reason. Like, 100%, yeah, maybe some of them are a little bit posers, but I mean, you look at like what the P2 Lodge, over in what was it? Was that in Italy? I believe, you know, kind of over in Europe.
I'm pretty sure it's so hard to keep.
No, Belgium. Was that Belgium?
Well, it's definitely associated with the Belgian Gladio because I
just know that was the main Masonic lodge where a lot of the Gladio stuff was being 100%.
It was involved. And this Arco Valley, who, and as I mentioned, this Tool Society was a Germanic neo-pagan cult that was largely based on the Knights Templars and the Rosicrucians, right? But this Arco Valley was tried for the assassination in 1920, right? Early 1920. And they gave him a death sentence. But this is what the public prosecutor says to this guy. He tells him, if the whole German youth were imbued with such a glowing enthusiasm, we could face the future with confidence. That's what he tells he's speaking on the assassin's behalf and reputation and character. And all of them are like giving these glowing reviews. Right. And so he's given this death sentence. Thank you. He's given this death sentence though. And so then it turns out that the surgeon who had operated on Arco Valley, because he was shot during the assassination, also gave him praise. And so then following the sentencing, he goes into this Landsberg prison cell that just so happens to be cell 70. All right. And in 1924, he was evicted from his cell to make way for Adolf Hitler, who would write Mein Kampf in the very same cell with direct ties to the Tool Society, who this assassin had paved the way for as far as political power to gain threshold within the next, you know, up and coming future administration, which did inevitably take power by 1929, I think. And that was the Nazi Socialist Party, right? And so, yeah, and of course, like after this, Tool was largely just disintegrated because it had served its purpose, right? Mm-hmm. And so, like, that's what I think people don't seem to grasp is like, we look at all these Gladio networks, brother. Like, does it not seem like they operate so similarly when it comes to these sort of like private organizations, whether they're cult organizations, private mercenary groups, whatever they are, right? And
same format, different name.
And they tend to just infiltrate and stage coup d'etats, whether they're covert or blatantly obvious. You know, it's a pattern we cannot cease to recognize, and we should never stop acknowledging. You know what I mean? It's like too often, man. But
yeah. All right. But I do want to at some point get to the debate stuff. I did want to bring up, I don't know if we necessarily need to bring up the tweet, but I did share it in the chat. I thought this was interesting and worth bringing up. Candace Owens, it was up in the air what was going to happen, but she got, I believe it was like something like retarded, like three strikes hit her at once or something along those lines. So I don't think she lost her channel. Because you're supposed to be three strikes, you're out, but it's like YouTube kind of does whatever the fuck they want. They've done, like, that's kind of the basic idea, is what I've kind of people understand is you're supposed to get three strikes and you're out. This is tell you, but
do you want me to bring it up?
I mean, you can if you want, if you got it, yeah, go for it. She it was for her sit down with Kanye, which I believe she had even like she had been having, because a lot of people don't realize is when you get really big, like. For example, my buddy Clint, he's at that level where he's big enough to where he's, and this was probably almost like 100K ago where he had like a guy, and I don't mean like he was this dedicated guy. He had a guy he could talk to over at YouTube that was like could help them out here and there, like, kind of deal. And I'm not saying they're in cahoots or something. It's just like, you kind of get like enough where they're like, you know, obviously there's a vested interest on both sides for you to be happy. So, and I believe I recall, cause I've kind of been watching her show a little bit more lately. Honestly, I kind of dig her, to be honest.
I should I'm not watch saying it she's more, perfect. Man. Not,
yeah,
I,
she's I been haven't... pretty solid. I mean, yeah. Yeah. What was I getting at? Oh yeah, I could have swore she mentioned somewhere on one of her shows before, cause she was talking about it. She had said she had talked to her person and they were like, this should be good. Cause they kind of gave the blessing, but obviously, you know how these games are played. It's kind of like, just cause they can, for whatever reason, like, for example, yeah. I don't know if I've said this on this show, but I've definitely said it before. I got demonetized for saying that, maybe the South, like the whole Civil War isn't as simple as, essentially, North good, South bad. And like that, it was literally something like that. It wasn't even like a full throated endorsement of them. And they said it was like supporting violent organizations. And they're like, well, fuck you. And I got demonetized for that, which, whatever. I've had a bunch of silly strikes for different reasons as well. And most of the time it's something retarded. But yeah, this was for her Yay interview. She released her Yay interview. This was actually an interview she held on to for years, because I guess while she was working over at Daily Wire, when Kanye had his whole big moment where everything was popping off, you know, DEFCON 3, all that shit, she interviewed him, and then she tried to get Daily Wire to let her release it, and they said no. And she still, she recorded anyways, just saved it for posterity, I guess. And just so happens now she's off Daily Wire, so she was able to release that because it was of her own. It wasn't, you know, owned by Daily Wire. I mean, I watched probably like half of this interview, and it really was pretty, it was a toned down, relaxed Kanye. He wasn't going super hard. He was explaining himself, being fairly reasonable. I didn't watch the whole thing. So like, I don't know, maybe he went off the rails. I kind of honestly was bored. This interview kind of bored me, because it's really? Like, so I, like, I kind of got bored and like, okay, I mean, there's some interesting things here and there, but so I left. Right. And that's not saying anything bad about Candace. It's like, Kanye is like a, I mean, especially if you're trying to have a calm sit down with him, it's like, he's just
not
so
an
all,
easy person to
it's,
guide.
It's hard. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's almost easier just to do kind of like the Alex Jones, just kind of on the next, like the high energy. Cause then you're just having fun. Like, I mean, exactly. Yeah, you might cover some substantive stuff, but trying to have a serious, you know, like tone down, it's a little all over the place.
Right.
But yeah, point being is I kind of got a little bored. I never finished it. It wasn't that bad. So yeah, it got taken down for like hate against, you know, I guess she posted on Twitter now. She post, huh? No, you don't have to bring it up. People got the idea. But point being is now she's on Rumble. She streamed Rumble. So I think that's a win in the right way for, you know, other you know, things. So it's cool that she's doing that. Seems she's going hard enough in the paint to not really give a shit, you know, to some extent about this. So that's cool. It'll build up the other platform. So definitely help out on Rumble. Everybody should definitely start, you know, we're looking into that more. Because, I don't know. I mean, maybe I also think this will create pressures on YouTube to stop this bullshit.
Exactly.
So, you know, but so win-win on both sides. Point being is I just thought it was interesting. Side note, I don't really know how this is necessarily tied together. I got two rappers. Kendrick Lamar is going to be doing the fucking Super Bowl halftime show,
right?
Which is amazing because it's like he's gotta do the Not Like Us. That's hilarious.
100%.
I mean, and you know what? Like, he could really go nuts with it. He could do all sorts of, showmanship, like artistic type stuff to really even send the point further. Because a lot of people, like, if you've been following Already Dead long enough, we went on a whole tear for a good few episodes about this stuff and went a lot of the weird rabbit holes about the whole Drake, Kendrick beef. And it did really get into, and it caught our interest because it kind of seemed to peter on the edge of the parapolitical. Where they were going with it, kind of like seems like shady executive stuff, maybe dark money, like weird stuff going on behind the scenes, which, you know, some connected people likely in the mix. So
all happening strangely around the Diddy.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
I thought that was interesting because Kendrick does seem like, yeah, don't get me wrong, I'm sure there's some things people would share me of some dumb shit he's done here and there, and I've seen stuff. I'm not saying I agree with him on everything, but he seems like kind of a fucking genius, and it seemed like he had an idea and knew what he was doing with a lot of stuff. There was a lot of different, like, you know, things, messages being sent in those videos or even in the lyrics that you had to analyze to get. It was like there were layers to this shit. So if he has all the resources of a Super Bowl halftime show with all the different things, the whole show he can put on, the whole production, he could get really artistic with it. Really, it could kind of be one of those things, almost like a Eyes Wide Shut type thing where you're like, I need to analyze this. What are you telling me? And it is, or even just on its face level, it's hilarious that he gets to call Drake a pedophile on like literally the biggest stage that any performer could ever hope to have.
100%, dude. That is so funny.
Yeah.
And by the way, you're bringing up, just bringing this up reminds me, of course, of Diddy. And what I think is so funny is that I just recently read this Post article about, who helped Elon with the buyout of Twitter, right? And I never saw this before. And it was so, it was the Washington Post. And so it looks like a federal judge ordered Elon Musk's ex to unseal a list of shareholders involved with X Holdings Corporation, giving the public an official look at the investors who aided the $44 billion purchase. And so shareholders named in the document included some of Silicon Valley's most prominent venture capitalists and entrepreneurs, as well as a fund linked with hip-hop mogul Sean Diddy Combs. I just think it's so fucking funny. Like, hey, I'm sorry to tell everyone, like, birds of a feather, right? Like, why are they circulating in the... It's just, they're all swimming in the same circles. You can pull up all of their sexual blackmail pictures with, you know, the madams of the service, you know what I mean? And people still just justify their support or whatever they have to do and ignore it because it suits their political ideology. But either way, it goes on to say that the filing lists nearly 100 entities with a stake in X, although many appear to represent different funds controlled by the same firm or person. Other investors include venture capital firm Andreessen Horowitz, Saudi Prince Al-Waleed bin Talal Al Saud. Dude, it's like, and you know my coverage of the Vegas shooting. Mm-hmm. Like,
dude, I think Owen Benjamin at one point went on a large tear about this, and he still brings it up sometimes. Really? No, I'm making the point of that I think the Muslims like are going to start, like the Muslim money is going to start taking over. And so I do think, so in a certain sense, and the Muslim money, the tech money. So I think we're going to see kind of a pendulum swift or pendulum shift. And I think we're going to get like, how do I put this? I forget how Owen would put it. It is kind of the idea of less globo homo, I guess, and more like a, I mean, there'll still be like no stuff, but it's going to be more based, I guess, is the way. But like right. Less, maybe less degeneracies type stuff. So it might have some of the annoying old school. So there'll be pros and cons. I mean, I guess if you look at it, it's just degeneracy. That's like fine. But it may be more like the old timey type censorship we used to see. So I might. But my point being is like just seeing how things are influenced. You might, if you look through those lens of kind of like, how does this group view things and how is that influencing our money? You might be like, oh, that's how the media landscape's changing a little bit. But yeah, sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off.
You're good. I just think it's,
real quick. Do you see that Palantir fuck? Cause we're kind of talking about,
oh shit, man.
In this kind Peter of realm. Teal,
it's just confirming not my Teal. Bias.
It was, I guess the guy's running the thing. You see the videos that went around recently and it was him, talking about how he wanted to figure out a way to be able to use it to help with anti-Semitism around the world. And
that
like
was
he
Teal,
made
brother.
Well,
was
that
it
wasn't
not?
Teal. That wasn't Teal. I mean, Teal might've as well. Some guy was crazy, like eccentric hair. It was like very curly and like,
I didn't see that.
Yeah, I think, I don't know if it's a guy who runs Palantir or what, because I don't know how that that breakdown is. Right, but yeah, he was, everyone was sharing around. It was, things along the lines of essentially wanting to, ban people from, and I don't know if he meant legally or somehow, in a technological type way to prevent you to, whether it be censorship. But either way, it came off as a little a little hardcore, especially since, like, what, isn't Palantir being used to help in Gaza?
Oh, yeah, dude.
What the fuck?
It's crazy. Yeah. I mean, Ukraine, you know, it's yeah, it's absurd. And Peter Thiel, man, like, I wasn't bullshitting when I brought up the Ambrosia and him having, like, he's a legitimate psychopath, in my opinion. And I also do think that they are trying to industrialize adrenochrome to a certain extent without trying to get too far off the ledge. But I mean, I know that sounds insane, but
no, yeah.
But I mean, like, I really do encourage everyone, go read the Vanity Fair article where they 100% address this, right? Where it's like Silicon Valley billionaire, you know, seeks blood and transfusions, right? Which are like 10 grand a pop.
Although I don't think that would... To be fair, I'm not trying to, like, I know it sounds like I'm I'm coming to the defense of the elite, but so far as the infusions of blood, that's just swapping right. blood. That's no different than like a
no,
blood.
It's I mean, worse it's than that though,
creepy.
Brother.
It's creepy. Yeah. They're not. No. They're not a because I my understanding of adrenochrome is literally like they are synthesizing it down, and there might be different ways to ingest it. But
it
so
is
far
young
as just
people's
a blood,
blood
like, yeah. I mean, it's still creepy. I mean, yeah. But like so far as like the idea of adrenochrome, and maybe it's not real. I think it probably is. I suggest people go check out Tommy's. He did a little documentary, The Paranoid American. That was probably one of the best breakdown. And he literally was like, "Here's this source, here's that source." And if you look at Namrock actually just went on. I forget what show it was. I watched.
I know,
it. He was a breakdown of some film, and I've never seen it. But in that film, they were talking about adrenaline, and they started analyzing this guy, who the screenwriter, and it is like it does seem like sometimes that does come up. And, you know, they almost try to tell you in the art sometimes, and
100%, dude.
And it's weird. There are things like I don't know any offhand that prove
Dark
it.
Dark Angel.
But I know there are documents.
Real Conspiracies,
up there.
Episode 6. Go
yep,
check it out.
Go.
Namrock.
Yep, but he kind of goes into that, the idea of like the revealing of the method in the movie, possibly. There's also that in Fear and Loathing when they talk about adrenochrome. But it's I wish I knew enough more about this, but the more I've looked at it, the more I'm like, I think there's something there. Now, I don't know I don't know how legit, if that actually does get you high or anything, but they have synthesized
well,
that
he's
shit
like
down.
Well, paranoid as shit when it comes to, you know, attempting to... Like, one, he wants to become immortal. He's, like, actually spoke on this multiple times. Yeah. He thinks that he can increase the you know.
Yeah, he's trying to figure how to ethically source adrenochrome for sure.
It's 100% what he's doing, man. Like, it's really crazy, yeah. Especially the Silicon Valley startups that he's supporting. They're very much, like, esoteric groups that are not, they're not acting in good faith, in my opinion, just by researching the certain groups that like this Jesse Carmazin or whatever it is that essentially is the founder of Ambrosia LLC. When you look into these people, they're not, in my opinion, people that you should trust, right? Especially at face value. And so I don't think it's like a...
I mean, they make it sound like it's a simple blood transfusion. But now, would I be surprised if there's more to it that we're not being told? Because I would think this young blood, you could theoretically get it from. But the typically, my understanding is, at least through the lore, to find actual scientific stuff is a little more hard. It's harder to understand. But that stuff is out there, that the shit that is technically thing called adrenochrome.
No, regenerative.
But the idea is generally like it's supposed to be that like for example, in this movie that Namrock went and talked about, like the bad guy was literally like, and it sounds ridiculous, but it was an alien that was going around and taking kind of, I think it was drug dealers. So it was like kind of people no one would miss is what it seems like. And was taking heroin and then would slam it into like straight into their heart so that they would like be freaking the fuck out and then kill them. But the way that he killed them is he stabbed him in like right in here. And the idea was then he sucked something out of their pituitary gland.
Dude,
I saw
this movie. That's so hilarious. Yeah. I just didn't realize that was the name of the movie.
Yeah. But the idea is that they're freaking you out, so it elevates your adrenaline, and then that's the moment at which they take it. So now you have an adrenally elevated, you know, whatever liquid they pull in it from. Blood. If it was from blood, yeah. You know, then in that. Well, I mean, in this situation, it'd be levels. Straight from the fucking.
Okay.
The,
okay.
But I'm pretty sure it's the blood too. But
I'm pretty sure the logic behind it is elevated levels of adrenaline coursing through your blood is the idea, and so that's why they want. They want
and the key thing with the young thing is that, like, I guess theirs is more potent because, I mean, it makes sense. You, as you've gotten older, like the terror or the freak out you're going to feel is going to be a much different level. Like, 100%. Don't get me wrong, as an adult, you can get high adrenaline moments and be freaked out. But like as a young kid, you're in such a you haven't kind of gotten tougher to the world. So you're, or, you know, you're very much like more on edge in that sense, insofar as being able to be terrified to death type deal.
Definitely. But it's also easier to create the dissociative state in the mind in many ways, because the imagination, the imaginative process that it takes, it's like this, you know, the psychosis of the brain at the time when you're molding prepubescent, it's like, it's a much more, you know, a malleable, manipulative, you know what I mean? It's very strange, but I covered that in my Kinkora episode where they spoke on that. damn it. I'm forgetting the name of the child, but either way, it's terrible. And they 100% did say that a satanic organization, right, which conducted blood rituals and consistently, this was from a victim's perspective, who was family of the perpetrators, right? Which is, again, you look at the X dossier in Belgium and what do you find, right? You find basically family members turn out their own children and then use them to, you know, procure other children in the network. And then it's so insane what they do to them psychologically, because they'll torture their own friends in front of them in many ways. It's extraordinary. But
real quick, Jules, you want to go ahead and get dialed up the debate? I mean, I know you said in the private chat, kind of wondering where. I don't know. Just I'm sure if you just go to the homepage on YouTube, you could probably bring it up. Yeah, I'm sure it'll be one of the first things that pop up and wherever it's coming from. I just put it muted in the background. We'll kind of pop in and out. And I'm about to bring up the calls here in a second so that we can start taking calls. But yeah, I guess maybe we can kind of poke in and out while we kind of interact with the chat as well. So we're going from adrenochrome to political debate. Seems fitting.
Already dead, my friend.
Yep.
Welcome.
Well, yeah, let's get that dialed up. We'll get into that. Like I said, let me set up the real quick. There we go. Oh, damn it. I'm gonna have to take you out call. Yeah, because I can't do I know I, we figured out the whole new layout, but I guess you have to do custom layouts for every different situation.
That makes sense.
So if I have the calling stuff in the background, I can't have that up. Let me see if I can do that now, actually. Real quick. Sorry. I know people don't want this type of content. There we go. We're back to normal, and I just will have that in the background. Although I think that'll kick out my other share screen once you bring up the thing. But oh well. I can bring it up later. I will still know if you guys are calling. So let me bring up the banner for you guys. 941-281-5857 if you guys want to call in. Also in the chat, if you guys are asking questions, if you have comments, we'll kind of, you know, bring it up as appropriate. If you guys support either one of us, on our patrons or Patreon, then you guys can hop in as a talking head alongside us. We can fucking shoot the shit about the whatever you want to talk about, or we can come on and, or you can, you know, comment on the fucking debate as well. But yeah, we're going to get into that. All right. I believe we're all ready. I got already set up. You're finding it, Jules, or no? Oh, actually, I can add you back to the stage.
If you want me to send it to you, I can. I just got to find it.
Streaming on YouTube?
It's live on Twitter. I know they have the link there, but I don't know.
If you have the link.
Being involved with a pedo ring, can you expand on that a little? Who? I don't know. I guess we talked about a lot of pedo shit recently, so you may have to specify. Do you know what he's referring to?
No, I can't place what I imagine.
By the way, guys, if I seem a little on edge and talking a lot, just so you guys know, I stopped vaping like fucking on Friday.
Oh, man.
I'm on edge.
Don't I'm get still, mad at I'm me, still, Jose.
No, I'm good. I'm just feel like I'm talking a lot. I'm like, maybe I'm more, but whatever. It's fine. I'm just letting you guys know. Me, I'm more fidgety because I'm like, I don't know what to do with my hands. I'm used to, whatever.
I found it, guys.
That's so funny.
Yeah, let's bring it up. Let's mute it at first, though, so we can try to jump in at a good spot. But bring it up. That way we have it go in the background. But yeah, being involved with the pedal ring. Do you know which one he was referring to in that or no?
No, like I said, I'm not.
What we need to do is
sure.
maintain and grow the Affordable Care.
All right, there we go. I'm muted for now.
That bitch.
All right. Her voice. We can pop in. Oh, we got the.
Got caption.
We got captions, so we can even.
That's
looks
cool.
like shit and grin. That looks dope.
Right.
Taking your own guns.
Oh my god. Both gun That's
owners.
Hilarious.
Oh, I want gun stuff. Okay.
Are they? Ooh, yeah, it must be about the Georgia shooting or something.
Let's bring this up. Let's unmute it. Let's see what they're saying about right now.
60 times. I was a senator at the time when I will never forget the early morning hours when it was up for a vote in the United States Senate. And the late, great John McCain, you have disparaged as being... you don't like him, you said, at the time because he got caught. He was an American hero. The late, great
spy,
John McCain,
dude.
I will never forget that night, walked onto the Senate floor and said, no, you don't. No, you don't. No, you don't get rid of the Affordable Care Act. You have no plan. And what the Affordable Care Act has done is eliminate the ability of insurance companies to deny people with pre-existing conditions. I don't have to tell the people watching tonight, you remember what that was like? Remember when an insurance company could deny if a child had asthma, if someone was a breast cancer survivor, if a grandparent had diabetes? And thankfully, as I've been vice president and we over the last 4 years have strengthened the Affordable Care Act, we have allowed for the first time Medicare to negotiate drug prices on behalf of you, the American people. Donald Trump said he was going to allow Medicare to negotiate drug prices. He never did. We did. And now we have capped the cost of insulin at $35 a month. Since I've been vice president, we have capped the cost of prescription medication for seniors at $2,000 a year. And when I am president, we will do that for all people, understanding that the value I bring to this is that access to health care should be a right and not just a privilege of those who can afford it. And the plan has to be.
All right, I'm kind of bored with this for a second. We'll pop
man.
Back in it. But I do want to say she's actually I saw a lot of people saying, talking smack about her early on. I mean, just popping in, just seeing this just now, she actually looks pretty good. I mean, obviously, I don't agree with a lot of shit she's saying.
She had a couple bad moments real early, for
she,
sure.
She stammered. You're talking about, I thought you were talking about earlier. I thought you were talking about just now.
Earlier. Yeah. With that
there was
whole
a couple stammers in there, but the delivery felt confident. Her body language looked, she actually kind of weirdly, I'm surprised how... with it, she is. Actually, let's see. Now we've got Trump back. Oh.
Okay, here we go.
By the way, you can mute right here. I'm clicking if you...
wants everybody to be on government insurance where you wait 6 months for an operation that you need immediately.
President Trump, thank you. We have another issue that we'd like to get to that's important for a number of Americans,
right,
in particular younger voters, and that's climate change. President Trump with...
Oh, who fucking cares?
Great,
all right,
yeah,
for
real.
All right, let them bullshit about climate change for a second. Okay, here's... we got... What? This guy. This is what he's talking about. Austin... I can't remember which episode of yours it was, but I think you mentioned something about Billy Graham being involved with a PDF file ring. Maybe I should start trying to monitor my words so we can actually get more views. That'd be cool. Because you know how it's like the big channels, they'll like, you know, bleep certain things. It's like an algo thing. I've just never given a shit.
Though.
And I mean, I do okay. I'm not complaining, but I'm saying if we really want to hit that algo, I think we're fucked anyways. We spent like...
about Fiona Barnett, Austin.
Yeah.
I was
leaning up to that. Which, by the way, that's a little bit of a preview for...
that's what I was about to say.
Because I was supposed to do it last week. Some shit came up. So sorry to my patrons. I was one episode down. But I have Austin coming on Thursday. We're going to finally wrap up this Watergate series. It's six parts. But this is where it's ultimately getting to. And this is like ties in the Watergate, all that type of stuff. So, yeah.
Definitely.
It seems like Billy Graham may have been a... Yeah.
Well, basically...
Fucking pedo.
Yeah.
I don't want to...
Maybe. Allegedly.
Yeah, it's like the Candy Girl. If you look into it, in my opinion, I do not doubt her as far as she went on the record. And you know, when you actually read through what she went through and what she actually experienced, and it's undeniable, right? But I honestly want you to watch this next part of Watergate, because I'm going to get into it in detail, mm-hmm. but we have to,
Damn it. Are we doing a part seven now?
Brother, I'm just saying the only issue is that we have to establish Dude. Phil Mack and Bailey, the Columbia Plaza okay. Hook we'll, referral we'll do pipeline.
Do. Parts on it's Inky on, as, I really as a deity. So like
the last dive into there it. At most will be this upcoming and one more, right? For the finale.
Okay.
I'm just trying to prepare you, because I really think that that's like the best way we could approach it. And I'm not even going to be like no, we're still not going to be covering what, you know, as much as we probably should, okay. but still, like, I think it's the most important and kind of the heart of Watergate is the sexual blackmail operation scandal yes. that was happening. So really it's a suppressed sex scandal much mm-hmm. more than some sort of like, operation to gain political dirt on your opponents for an upcoming election. So it gets into a little bit of like I've kind ooh, of been prepping ooh, you.
Why did he get $3.5 million from the mayor of Moscow? I'm assuming maybe he's talking about Biden or maybe his son. I don't recall that's
probably exactly what he's talking about. Yeah, he's talking about Hunter. I would think because
statements. Oh shit. Well damn, that's where we're at. I guess we can catch that'll be good. I think sorry, I mean cut you off. So far as content popping in for the fucking closing statements, that'll be good. I feel like that might wrap up some.
I've heard people make a lot of different claims about Kathy O'Brien as well, as like questioning her integrity, as if you know her story isn't legitimate and credible.
Yeah, sorry. You want to just keep an eye on that, Jules, and just whenever ready, bring it. I was just gonna leave it running in the background, but we can do that too. It's fine.
I didn't want
it. As long as you got your eye on it. All right, sorry. Yeah. So,
but I've yet to see a reason to really question, you know, their account of things that took place, especially considering Australian MK Ultra and everything that happened with the Kidmans and all of that. So, yeah, I think Richard Nixon and Billy Graham are both guilty of sexual relations with minors, if you want to put it that way. And that's just my opinion as of now. But I'm open-minded, as of always, for some sort of counter-argument, you know. But I will say that I think more than anything, it's become school shooting season, right? Because I think they were discussing the sort of the gun debate, right? Like that's kind of what it seemed like. We kind of tuned into the very end portion of their little arguments on guns. Who knows what it consisted of, but I'm sure it was sparked by the recent shootings that took place, right?
Yeah.
So I don't know, but I know that I'm pretty sure that there was even like, it wasn't just the Georgia shooting. It was also a West Virginia shooting that happened where three people in the stands were injured by gunfire near a high school football game. Mm-hmm. And so it's definitely just like sort of a shift in public focus, maybe. I don't know. You know, in an election year, it's always something that needs to come up as far as a political football to toss mm-hmm. around and leverage against each other and things of that nature. So,
yeah, I've been seeing a lot of weird local stuff where I'm at so far as like on like Facebook or whatever, just in like in my local area. My wife's shown me of like different schools of like, oh, so-and-so, there's weird claims that maybe there might be school shootings here or there. And like, like kind of alluding to they're tied into this other stuff. I mean, I think that might be a lot of like Facebook moms getting carried away and stuff. But I do think, I don't know, maybe there's something to that. I mean, obviously, it's just my local, you know, stuff. So, I wouldn't be surprised. Maybe there's more to that. That's just completely anecdotal. But, yeah, it is definitely, it feels like the CIA is ramping shit up right now.
There's even a Russian connection to it all, yeah, which I think is insane as far as the Appalachia, that's what it is, high school shooting in Georgia. Because, which I just thought, like, of course it would. Like, there were, like, these tips given to the feds, given to the FBI by these IP addresses that were from, you know, various locations. But the locations themselves were sort of, like, red flags to me, you know? But who knows? Again, it could also be just the implication is these are Discord users who recognized radical extremist behavior on the platform, yep, and then reported it to the feds. So that's 100% could be possible. You know, I'm not ruling it out, but I will say that when like one of the IP addresses, right? And it was noted in this report that if you look at it, it's, let's see, it was issued 2023 investigation into the alleged Appalachian High School shooting suspect, Colt Gray. And it turns out that the Jackson County Sheriff's Office released this investigative fact sheet that was dated May 21st, 2023. And they had been monitoring this kid for like over a year, right? And had even gone and visited him, where an FBI agent like spoke with the father, who then let him speak to Colt. And they had a conversation where this kid was like expressing concern that multiple different accounts on this platform had been suggesting that he was making, at least accusing him, is the words that he said to the investigator, that these accounts were, he expressed concern that these accounts were accusing him of threatening to shoot up a school, right?
Oh, we're back. You want to go ahead and, you actually want to, might need to rewind it a little bit. If you want to keep it muted, rewind maybe 15 seconds or so, pause it, and then we can kind of do the closing statement. Oh, never mind. We've heard, I don't know, what is she talking about? Oh, never mind. She said closing statement, so I thought, okay, maybe that's a little bit delayed. Let's unmute it, maybe scroll back a little bit so we can hear her closing statement. I feel like that'll be... Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off, Austin. But,
no, you're good, buddy.
I mean, even if we can just pause it and then we can come back to it. Yeah.
Is it muted?
No. Yeah, I can't
hear it. The
American
people, which is why I intend to create an opportunity economy, investing in small businesses, in new families, in what we can do around protecting seniors.
I can hear it.
What we can do that is about giving hardworking folks a break and bringing down the cost of living.
Is there an echo?
I believe in what we can do together, that is about sustaining America's standing in the world and ensuring that we have the respect that we so rightly deserve, including respecting our military and ensuring we have the most lethal fighting force in the world. I will be a president that will protect our fundamental rights and freedoms, including the right of a woman to make decisions about her own body and not have her government tell her what to do. I'll tell you, I started my career as a prosecutor. I was a DA, I was an attorney general, a United States senator, and now vice president. I've only had one client, the people. And I'll tell you, as a prosecutor, I never asked a victim or a witness, are you a Republican or a Democrat? The only thing I ever asked them, are you okay? And that's the kind of president we need right now. Someone who cares about you and is not putting themselves first. I intend to be a president for all Americans and focus on what we can do over the next 10 and 20 years to build back up our country by investing right now in you, the American people.
Vice President Harris, thank you. President Trump.
Want to pause it for a second?
So she just started by saying she's going to do this, she's going to do that, she's going to do all these wonderful things. Why hasn't she done it? She's been there for 3.5 years. They've had 3.5 years to fix the border. They've had 3.5 years to create jobs and all the things we talked about. Why hasn't she done it? She should leave right now, go down to that beautiful White House, go to the Capitol, get everyone together and do the things you want to do, but you haven't done it and you won't do it because you believe in things that the American people don't believe in. You believe in things like, we're not going to frack, we're not going to take fossil fuel, we're not going to do things that are going to make this country strong, whether you like it or not. Germany tried that, and within 1 year, they were back to building normal energy plants. We're not ready for it. We can't sacrifice our country for the sake of bad vision. But I just ask one simple question. Why didn't she do it? We're a failing nation. We're a nation that's in serious decline.
I wonder if we're able to just play it like this. Probably get a copyright thing.
All over the world they left. I know the leaders very well. They're coming to see me.
I don't think so.
They call me.
We're left at
all over the world. They don't understand what happened to us as a nation. We're not a leader. We don't have any idea what's going on. We have wars going on in the Middle East. We have wars going on with Russia and Ukraine. We're going to end up in a third world war, and it'll be a war like no other because of nuclear weapons, the power of weaponry. I rebuilt our entire military. She gave a lot of it away to the Taliban.
Oh, no.
She gave it to Afghanistan. What these people have done to our country, and maybe toughest of all, is allowing millions of people to come into our country. Many of them are criminals, and they're destroying our country. The worst president, the worst vice president in the history of our country.
Damn.
President Trump, thank you. And that is
that was a good, good dismount at the end.
From here in Philadelphia, the National Constitution.
All right, that's it. Let's go ahead and take that down. That was that. I mean, we probably.
They're eating our pets.
Yeah. I mean, frankly, I mean, just looking at what we saw, kind of boring, to be honest. But whatever.
That was funny, though.
I hope you guys enjoyed this this different format. I don't know. Maybe we could have popped in at different spots. Maybe there was more stuff early on. I have a feeling that we're going to find out it was just boring throughout, just like that. So,
right.
I mean, there was fun moments. I'm
surprised Trump didn't mention Israel.
Yeah,
I think
they seemed to skate away from that.
I think it was smart. Yeah, it was smart not to.
I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if he did earlier, though. I mean, we missed
probably,
a lot of it.
I would imagine.
Yeah,
but in that context,
yeah,
in the context of we have wars all over,
yeah,
it was smart not to mention.
Well, we're safe, guys. Trump's gonna get in there. It's gonna fix everything.
We're good to go, man.
Yeah. Well, shit.
That's so
all right.
Hilarious.
If you guys got any questions in the chat, let us know. I mean, do you guys want to talk about the Haitian cats stuff?
Oh, yeah. Oh my God.
I have no idea if this story's legit at all.
I know, right? I just thought it was hilarious and something that was, you know, of course, blowing up and going viral.
Jose,
but
my personal theory.
You'd be okay watching it being cats and all.
Is it an actual video? Is it the one with the lady?
There is a
it?
Cat. Yeah. It looks like a cat is being like.
Is that okay?
I've
barbecue,
seen that video.
Yeah,
I'll save the trouble. It's literally a deranged black woman like eating a cat in someone's driveway. But apparently, this I don't know the truth. I've seen a lot of like the Democrats or left people like complaining, like, "Oh, this is kind of." I don't know if they're just like. I mean, maybe I'm misreading the situation. I mean, don't get me wrong. I've seen serious posts about people like, "Oh, look at this situation," blah blah blah. But it seems like most of it's just meme stuff, and people are joking. Don't even care whether it's true or not. So, because a lot of these stories, people are looking into and be like, "Oh, well, that was just some crazy black lady who was an immigrant."
Right.
This never even happened, or this was just you caught this one picture, and now you're like, "Oh, this guy's like." So it's a lot of it may be bullshit. I have no fucking idea. But the point being is, the lefties were complaining about that. I have no idea if it's legit. Either way, it's just hilarious. My theory is that the Trump campaign just like paid a bunch of inner city blacks to go into the neighborhood parks and hunt geese and cats, and that way they could get a political win. And
that's
it's not
great.
Because I really have any specific political bend. It's just because I think that'd be a hilarious thing to do.
Oh my God! Homeboy says that Trump brought it up. He brought up the cats apparently during the debate. That's hilarious. Well, I mean, I don't think anybody should be bringing up Haiti as far as in context of like American foreign policy or like American interference in the nation of Haiti just in general, because I mean just look up Laura Silsby and enjoy that thread of human trafficking over the border supported by the Clinton administration, and then you'll get censored by YouTube because that's exactly what happened on my Pizzagate episode, which is absurd. Right, it's like it's a true story.
No,
right, it's something
fucking
that,
way. Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off. Apparently, he brought up the cats.
I just said that, dude.
Sorry, I zoned out. My wife was off. My bad. I poked out for a second. My wife came in the room, caught my attention. I looked back, and I didn't have the context. I was like, no fucking way. I didn't see the chat brought up. My bad. Sorry, that was the one moment I broke attention.
You're good, dude. That's why I went on this ridiculous tangent. But anyway, yeah, I can't remember what I was going to say. But the main crux of it is just that clearly, I mean, no one has the proper context for American foreign policy and its consequences in the nation of Haiti, right?
Yeah.
And they certainly shouldn't be. If you're going to look up anything, like I said, start with the threat of Laura Silsby, you know, and the Clinton Foundation, mm-hmm. right? Because that's as good as any place to start, to be honest, if you want the real scope of what government is capable of and what these administrations are all capable of. I don't care what side of the political aisle that they are on. They're fulfilling the secret agenda of the oligarchy, you know, that's why I just think it's just such a mockery and a clown show to even take the debate seriously, because they're not in charge of policy.
Yeah, it's entertainment. That's all.
Keep us at bay. The ideological, you know, imprisoned, subverted masses will fall into place. Right. They'll take the bait and they'll wind up in the same trap they were 4 years ago. And it's just, to me, I see an inevitable result occurring where we all end up in this predetermined outcome of a totalitarian technocratic state. And whatever sort of dressing you want to put on it, as far as PR wise, and you know, is it easier for you for the next 4 years to accept this and embrace this as the new normal and our new version of reality? Well, mm-hmm. then we're, you know, and again, this is not a black pill, and I hate to always wind up where I start sounding that way, but yeah. it's not at all
it's
what
a gray pill,
what
bro.
I'm saying. It's yeah. a gray pill. Yeah, it's your choice. At the end of the day, yes, honestly,
yeah.
right? And I think through exposing yourself to these different ideas, right? The veil is removed. You cannot divert back to what you once were, no matter how badly you would like to, right? Because ignorance is bliss in many ways. But you know what? I think to feel truly liberated, you know, like to be able to on a daily basis, like make a difference in your own life, the people that you love and care about, have some sort of immediate impact. You know, like we have to opt out, right? Like that's my opinion. So, I mean, yeah. feel free to vote. That's fine.
Yeah.
But, you know, if you're in the rat race, my friend.
Mathematically, the way I look at it, you're wasting your time. Like if you literally yeah. break down the math, you'd be.
If they matter at all.
Yeah, yeah exactly.
Elections, as far as I'm yeah. concerned.
All right. By the way, Nicholas Lee says, you guys going to tease who the guest is next week? All right. I'm going to let you guys in a little secret here. We're notoriously awful about planning, and it
we
usually
have no
falls. We don't. But I have a couple in mind. And also, I'm always willing to take suggestions from you guys.
Yep. I can reach out to a couple people at least, but
I did have a nice Mormon fella. No one, anyone you guys would know. He's a guy with like a lower count, and he said like, "Hey, you know that episode we were talking about Mormon stuff? He kind of like hit me up. He's like, hey,
I hope I didn't upset him, and that was the reason
cool.
that he reached out to you.
He seemed
that's
cool.
That's the only thing that I'm concerned about. But honestly, I don't care at all because he's yeah. listening to the show, and anyone.
Yeah. No, he said like he's a big conspiracy guy. He said he's like,
okay, cool.
And it sounded like. He said, hey, if you guys ever want someone to talk about, like, intel stuff, the different sects, like, SRA, and he said that stuff. So
right.
I don't know necessarily his exact take, but the way he said it made it sound to me like he's not someone that we're going to bring on and he's just going to cape for Mormonism. Like, he obviously, yeah. I'm assuming his specific sect or his specific belief system or whatever. Sure, he'd probably be like, yeah, that's the right one. That's what it's supposed to be. Somehow it broke off and these people are doing evil shit over here or something. Something along those,
right.
I would assume. I don't know his exact take. Point being, I don't get the vibe you just cape. So that's kind of like why I was apprehensive. I'm worried. Because I don't just want to bring a guy on here and just be like, everything you said is wrong and there's nothing bad going on at
well,
all. You guys,
that.
You know
yeah,
what I mean?
No,
like,
I would never do that.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
No, so yeah. I get the feeling that we might get an inside look at kind of
that's
like
what I was hoping for.
Yeah. So I'm kind of interested. I'd like to do that. Now another open is Namrock. I think I'd want to bring him on.
Namrock's my boy.
Dude,
we should bring him on, man. Sick, that would dude, be fun.
Bring on
Namrock. Namrock on, bro.
I mean, not for any specific topic or anything, but just gonna shoot
we
the
could
bowl.
Just shoot the shit yeah. on whatever. Yeah.
Yeah. But I'm yeah, totally we got a. Yeah, so let me know. Mormon, Namrock. There was some guy that I do want to contact. I'd maybe one of these days talked about Scientology. Maybe get him on. But
ooh, yeah. That would be fun. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I would love that, man.
But
I know,
yeah.
By the way, did you...
Let us know who you guys went on. Yeah. Sorry, go ahead.
Oh, no, you're good. I just thought for fun, we should talk about just some pop culture bullshit, like the PR document that that allegedly is a hoax, right? For Taylor
that?
Swift and Travis Kelce.
Oh, yeah.
And their relationship contract.
That seems pretty legit.
I yeah. thought it was so great. You read through it, man. Like, honestly.
Oh, you
like,
did? I didn't read through it. I pulled
this up. Yeah. All right. This is a Forbes article. Okay. And of course, like, they kind of like try and, you know, hedge their bets by, of course, saying that the PR organization reached out and denied all of this as being a reality. But of course, like, anyone who has a head on their shoulders that's rational and logical at all, you know what you're seeing, right? Like, I mean, mm-hmm. to me, it's the epitome of arranged marriages for Hollywood, you know, PR purposes. And if you don't believe that, man, go look at the different PR agents that have admitted to just exactly what I just spoke about, where they're admitting some of the most famous celebrities you could ever imagine have signed on to these fake marriage contracts for PR purposes alone. To promote an album, to promote whatever it is, a film that's upcoming, whatever the case may be. So to me, I see it in no way as like some sort of conspiracy ridden, you know, false narrative, especially when you actually read through it. And so in this Forbes article, they talk about this and say the relationship that launched a million memes between pop superstar Taylor Swift, Travis Kelce. And so here we go. Key facts in the document titled Comprehensive Media Plan for Travis Kelce's Public Relations Following Breakup with Taylor Swift. And anybody that I've heard talk about this, honestly, who have dealt with a PR firm or any sort of public relations agent that was trying to represent them, they without a doubt have confirmed that this is the verbiage they use. They see no reason to doubt the authenticity of this document, right? And so, of course, following the breakup, by Full Scope PR started to go viral on Reddit before spreading to other social media sites. Now, the several-page-long PR plan claims to be the blueprint for crafting Kelce's public statement and the hope to, quote, manage and mitigate the fallout from the breakup between Travis Kelce and Taylor Swift, ensuring Travis Kelce retains a positive public image, minimizes negative media portrayal, and continues to build his personal and professional brand. The document says Kelce's team plans to release an official statement announcing the separation on September 28th, 3 days post-breakup, to allow initial media frenzy to settle and ensure clarity. The plan gives an example statement, says, Kelce will do select interviews with outlets like ESPN, Vanity Fair, and People Magazine, and includes talking points like emphasizing the respect for Taylor Swift and the mutual decision to part ways. So, Full Scope PR says, however, nobody that works for the agency had anything to do with the document, and the company's legal team is investigating who illegally used the agency's logo and posed as a member of the firm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm sure. Real quick, I did have in the chat, we got a Firepix. I believe she was offering this up as a guest. Hey, Dr. Carbeau, you're always dropping fire 100%. In the chat.
Yeah,
I don't know how to get a hold of you otherwise. I believe I've actually even gone through the effort of maybe trying to look you up on Twitter or something, see if I can find you, because you have definitely intrigued me in the chat before. So if you are interested and you can figure out a way to get a hold of us, let us know. Dude. I'm not against the idea. Also, Izzy Griffin. I have no idea who that is. I'm not against the idea, but I'd have to look into him a little. So, I know, hit me up online.
Oh, yeah. No, actually, I know that guy.
Oh, do you?
Yeah. I could hit him up. We're mutuals on Instagram.
Oh, someone also mentioned the Dresden edit in the chat. I forgot to mention this. Just to give credit, it's also the same exact person who made the intro for this show. Really? It's at the Thin Line 123, which they That's are so in the good. Midst. Tomorrow, 9/11, they are doing round two of the edit wars on Twitter for who the people into that.
Can't
so
wait.
He's Hell competing yeah. in that. Their homie Jolly on Klebold, who's I use a lot of his. He's in that.
He's I'm trying the to think. Best, dude.
Yeah. So Dana Dudaw is in that. That's been on the show before.
Yeah, she's awesome too, man.
Dude, that was I've been loving it. Have you seen these insane statements about or like theories about the daughter of Anton LaVey and the insane resemblance that Taylor Swift?
Did you see her interview, though?
Did you see her right? interview with the?
I still haven't watched the Jordan Peterson interview, dude. But I heard a bunch of people just upset that they didn't mention. Oh, why didn't you talk about joining Michael the Temple Aquino. Of Set?
Yeah, she mentioned Michael Aquino.
Of course not.
She seems pretty well spoken and like she has her shit together. I think she's a Buddhist now or something.
Interesting.
So
that is interesting.
Take what you will of that, but
go ahead.
At the very least, it's crazy the resemblance, and I like you have to take it seriously a little bit, and I wouldn't at all be surprised. I mean, so many of these Hollywood celebrities are clearly members of the oligarchy. And
well, there's
and some
the
sort
theory
of...
that what Barbara Bush was the daughter of
daughter Crowley,
or maybe I don't remember which First Lady Bush it was. To be honest,
yeah, Barbara.
Was it Barbara?
Yeah.
Was it Barbara?
The daughter of Crowley.
Okay, yeah, which I mean, I don't know. I mean,
yeah, I've heard that theory many times, but this one was actually like the resemblance was fairly uncanny. Like, I was actually kind of moved by it a little bit. I know it was probably a very generous overlap in the video and all of these different things that they kept showing, but I don't know, man. Like, I wouldn't at all be surprised, especially when you find like so many of these insane connections to like the Pasadena Lodge, right? For all these different, you know, organizations, including NASA, right? Who had, you know, people who were largely involved in creating NASA itself were directly in the Pasadena Lodge, right? Which was pretty much has been anointed as the hub and ground zero of, you know, Crowley's occultism in America, right? And yeah, it's absurd to me. And I think that it's important though, like to mention that this kid who committed that Georgia shooting, right, fits the specifically fits the chalk outline, right? When it comes to he was being bullied for being gay. Again, this could be 100% the reality of the case. Who knows? But according to the father, this kid, Colt Gray, was being bullied for being gay and was even going as far as to express frustration over the acceptance of transgender people.
I say, I thought he was trans.
Right?
That was early, you know, Twitters. I mean, that were just social media stuff. That the right. trans stuff was bullshit, I believe.
We had talked about it when.
But CNN itself reported that. You know that, right?
The tranny stuff.
Yeah, it reported the father himself said.
No. You said the disappointment, but you're saying he was gay. What I'm saying is, some people were saying he was a tranny.
Oh no! I didn't say a tranny. No.
Yeah, but there was initial stuff where people brought up pictures, and I think it might have been another kid that looked like him or what, and then like, or maybe him in a weird context and implying
he was a
that
faggot,
it was, so. There's that. Yeah, but he won a training. So just so for the people who are trying to take that route, it's not,
that's not the route that I was taking either. I just think that my point being is that it plays into that. That's why I described it as a chalk outline. right? Mm-hmm. Is that this is exactly the narrative that is continually being fulfilled, is that tranny we have shooter. Tranny shooters. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And right. So that was the point I was attempting to make, was that it fits the playbook, right? Yeah. So anyway, I don't care. Well, we can talk about whatever.
I want to cut a little bit short today. I want to get out of here if you guys are okay with that. I feel like we're kind of running to the end of our content anyways. I was hoping maybe there'd be more in the debate.
Dude, I have so much shit I could talk about, but
oh, for sure.
It's whatever you guys want.
we'll be back next week. So we'll sit on that. And I'll talk with you on Thursday. We'll continue our series.
I was so amped for Thursday, brother. Like, it was hilarious. When you hit me up, all I could think about was Watergate and all these different details, but it's fine. And honestly, like, it's probably good because I needed to refocus on the OTS. And by the way, I'm going on William Ramsey Investigates tomorrow. Yeah. So you guys check it out. It should be live around 3, I think. I think he goes live. I'm not entirely sure.
Send me that link or where to watch it.
I will, buddy.
So I can listen to work.
For sure. But I'm sure we'll get into Gladio and all that type of stuff. So.
Yeah. Well, where can did you list where people can find you at or no?
No. Find me at the Underclass Podcast, basically anywhere you can find the podcast. Subscribe to the YouTube. Definitely follow me on Instagram at the Underclass Podcast, and then follow me on Twitter at Underclass Pod. Thanks, Jose. Love you, brother.
Hell yeah, brother. Appreciate having you on. Hey, guys, go check out Gray Pilled.
Jose's coming on next. Thursday.
I sure am. Yeah. So, hell yeah.
And I'll be streaming all weekend because my family will be in Arkansas. So,
hell yeah.
Nice.
Stay tuned.
The kids and the old lady is gone. Just jerking off and streaming. That's all you're doing.
Yes, sir.
I know how it is when you have the house to yourself. yeah, guys, I'm having a brain fart right now. But yeah, like I said, I have Austin coming on here soon. Yeah, guys, go check me out on Twitter at Tower Gang Jose. If you guys want to support me, I'm on Charlie, patreon.com. No Way Jose 2020. Lowest levels, $2. That gives you early episodes. Also allows you to be come on as a talking head for this if you would so be persuaded to do so. I also do want to give a shout out to my sponsors who, my Patreon sponsors. I shout them out every week. I have my co-host on Tower Gang at Tower Gang Toad. Make sure to pop in tomorrow at Tower Gang at 9/11.
Shout out.
I also have at Abrogate D's at ZOVERACK. then I have at underscore infinite zeal. Then Jacob Daniel of the Biblical Anarchy podcast. Go follow his podcast if that sounds like if you're into that. If you want some libertarian theory with a biblical bent. The homie Tim Tuttle at John Klebold, y'all faggots better be voting for him in the edit war. That and at Gua at the Thin Line, the guy who made this intro. So you better, I want to see them at the end.
Fuck yeah.
I'll put my finger on the scale the best I can there. And also the homie Will Bell, who makes this delicious blueberry rabbit eye wine. Yeah. Also, if you guys are on Twitter, go retweet my fucking post to Candace.
Yeah,
I sent her a Manect, trying to get her attention for OKC. For those who don't understand how Manect works, you send them a thing, and if they have different rates you can pick. I know it feels gay because you're like, I had to spend money on this, but I just wanted to say it because we're talking patrons or whatever. So because of you guys, I sent her $100. There was only 1,000 characters, so it was kind of hard to squeeze it all in that I could use. But I sent her a little message. Apparently she has like something like a 90% response rate. So I don't know. I mean, I sent her a whole appeal for like kind of covering Yiki, that story. So I don't know. Who knows?
Maybe
we'll get her ear.
Maybe she'll come on the show.
I doubt she'll come on this show. And I don't even think I would get on this show. I don't even think I'd get on her show. And that's not even necessarily what I'm trying to do.
There you do.
I even said in the thing that I have the resource. Like, I can get you the resource, whether it's different experts or first-hand sources, say, like, right. Whether it be, like, Tanya or, like, Stephen Vassar, or if she wants, or even just to give her information so she could go down that rabbit hole herself, because feel like that'd be something she would be very interested in and would, go
definitely
right
worth
her rally.
Time,
so,
no
yeah.
doubt.
But with that, guys, we're out here. Show up next week, 9:30, same time, same place. It's on my channel. It's on Austin's channel, so either No Way Jose or Underclass Podcast. We stream them to both. And yeah, be here next time. See you, fuckers. Bye.